defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
One of the privileges I have as president of the Christian Research Institute is to read some of the thousands of letters that come into the Christian Research Institute. And from time to time, I like to share them with you as well. Here's one from Joanne in Memphis, who writes that it is unusual for me to write, but I feel compelled to write. Yesterday afternoon, I was listening to your broadcast, as I often do, and a young man called about suicide. You were so gentle in getting him to admit this was not just a hypothetical question. Goosebumps covered me, and I prayed. I am still in prayer, says Joanne, in prayer for him, for you, for your staff. God bless you in your ministry. I'm faithful to my church and to my God, but I can always learn more from listening to you as I do on WCRV out of Memphis, Tennessee, most sincerely. Another encouragement, because so often when I'm speaking into these microphones, it appears as though I am only speaking to one person, and that's the personal nature of radio, one of the reasons I love this medium. But when I'm talking to that one person about suicide, I am talking to a lot of other people who have the same question, and of course, in the broad scope of things, the same questions. And so I've never in all of my two decades of doing this broadcast ever entered the Bible Answer Man studios with a cavalier heart, as though, well, I've done this for over 20 years, kind of like falling off a log. I guess I'll do it again today. No, every time I walk into this studio and I put on the microphone, a headset, every single time, I'm aware that people make life decisions on what they hear. So I come into the studio with fear and trembling, asking the Lord to guard my lips, to speak the truth with conviction, without apology, but to think his thoughts after him. And that doesn't happen by accident. That comes out of a lot of study, a lot of preparation, because together you and I are not only making a difference for time and for eternity, but we're going to give an account for what we do this side of the veil. And so I respect and appreciate the privilege that God has given me to do the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I appreciate deeply not only the fact that God is condescending to use this ministry to touch lives for time and for eternity, but I appreciate deeply those who stand with me in the process. Thank you for your prayers. And thank you also for those who prayerfully support this ministry financially. Without you, we couldn't do what we do. There's never been a time, in my estimation, that this ministry has been more significant or important, more needed. And therefore, I need you all the more to stand with me as a co-laborer in Christ. If you've never joined the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, it'd be a great time to do it. We need your support now more than ever. You can support and become a partner in ministry on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can support us via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, 28271. You can also do so by talking to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. That translates to 888-7000-274. Well, let's go to the phone lines and talk to Ron. He's listening in Prescott, Arizona. Hi, Ron.
Good evening, Hank.
Good evening.
I'd like to give you my definition of the Trinity and the Godhead, and then have you critique it. And it's based on Deuteronomy 6:4 and the work of Tertullian, who coined the word Trinity. Tertullian said, one in essence, not one in person, three persons, one substance. Now, my definition for the Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three separate persons of the same substance, equal in all ways, being eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, and fully God apart from each other. They are united in thought, word, deed, and purpose.
Well, one of the difficult or perhaps tricky things about any definition of the Trinity is the word person. And if you've listened to the broadcast for any time, you'll recognize that I often say that words are not univocal, words are equivocal, which is to say they take on the meaning that the context allows them to have. And in the context of speaking about the Trinity, when we use the word person, we don't want to associate that word with the word separate. Perhaps we should use the word distinct for the three persons. And I've often said when you talk about the Trinitarian platform, it's important to recognize that there are three planks. The first is that there is only one God. And going back to the Tertullian quote, yes, one God by nature or essence. The second plank of the Trinitarian platform is that biblically we see that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. The third plank of the Trinitarian platform says this, that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. Therefore, we can never fall for the modalism heresy, which says that the Father became the Son and the Son became the Spirit. So we believe in one God by nature or essence, three in person. But again, what do we mean by person? Not that there are three separate people, but rather that there are distinctions, personal distinctions within the Godhead. Another way that I've communicated that is identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships within the Godhead, so that the Father sends the Son, the Father loves the Son prays to the Father. So there are subject-object distinctions that operate within the Godhead. Now this, again, to underscore something very significant, is something that I can apprehend as I read the Bible, but I cannot comprehend, because obviously God is infinite, I am merely finite. I will spend an eternity coming to grips with the nature of God as revealed in the Bible, and a full appreciation of the person and work of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God. So I think it's very dangerous sometimes to come up with our own definitions. We are pygmies standing on the shoulders of giants, and therefore I prefer very much to use the language that comes directly from Scripture, or the language that has been hammered out and codified in the creeds, such as the Creed of Athanasius, which is a wonderful creed. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Larry, Glen Falls, New York. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Hank. I have a question for you, and I hesitate to ask the question because it almost feels like speaking blasphemy, but it's something I've struggled with for a long time. I come from a background of a very horrific childhood, drug and alcohol addiction as a teenager and a young adult, other problems as a middle-aged adult. And my question is, with what I see going on in the world and what I experience myself, what constantly comes back to haunt me is what good was Christ sacrificed on the cross if this is the best that I can live here on earth? And I just struggle constantly with, I guess, maybe being double-minded, with depression, with anger. I really don't have any family. I don't have any relationships to speak of because of the way I've lived my life. And I've cried out to God and asked God to, you know, take these feelings from me, take these things from me, and to help me be the person I was meant to be before bad stuff happened to me as a child. But it seems like I'm just like a dog chasing my own tail, and I just don't understand it. I'll do good for periods of time, and then I'm not sure what the trigger is, but it's like my past comes back and rushes in, and everything seems to start falling apart again. And I just don't know how to find my way with God in all this, and this struggle I've been going through for almost 50 years now.
Well, Larry, thank you for your honesty. Life is never easy. And let me communicate that from the passion of my own heart. I've lived on this planet for 59 years. And if there's one thing I have learned, both biblically and experientially, it is this: that life is one series of challenges after another. Whether you are rich or poor, whether you are healthy or whether you're sick, life is one series of challenges after another. You could live in a big home or be homeless. You're still going to have challenges. Some challenges are easier than others, and so I do not want in any sense to be cavalier about what you've gone through and what you're experiencing even now. But let me say something about the greatest preacher in the minds of many people in the 21st century, oftentimes referred to as the Prince of Preachers. He was a guy who wrote in the 19th century about pain and suffering. And he said that he did not understand God and things above more clearly than he did upon the bed of pain. In 1881, he said this: "Were you ever in the melting pot, dear friend? I have been there, and my sermon's with me. The result of melting is that we arrive at a true valuation of things, and we're poured out into new and better fashion. And oh," said Spurgeon, "we may almost wish for the melting pot, if we may but get rid of the dross, if we may but be pure, if we may but be fashioned more completely like unto our Lord." And I would say further, Larry, that when we're broken in the cauldron of life, it makes us useful in helping other people that suffer. And the ultimate meaning behind the suffering of Christ was not health and wealth or a lack of suffering in this life. It was to gain us a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness, and a Lord who returns to wipe every tear from our eyes, so that the true valuation of things begins to come clear when we live life with eternity in mind, not a temporary perspective, but an eternal perspective. Now, that's hard. It's difficult. I struggle with it. You struggle with it. And guess what? So does everybody else. It's a difficult, hard thing to grasp. But the one thing we know is that no matter how much you have suffered, it pales by comparison to what he suffered. Because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ not only suffered more than any person, he suffered more than the cumulative sufferings of all of humanity. He identifies with us in our sufferings, and he carries us through the deepest and darkest valleys. I'll never forget Corrie Ten Boom and what she said. It sticks in my mind like glue. I remember, in fact, the first time I ever heard her say it in person. The reason it penetrated my heart at that time was because she had spent a good part of her life in a concentration camp. And she had watched her sister die at Ravensbrück. And she said, with a passion that gives me chills to this day, "There is no pit," she said in her Dutch brogue, "there is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still." And that's the ultimate truth. He meets you in the midst, indeed in the depth of your sorrows, and will give you a peace that passes all understanding. Be right back with more.
This year, as you prepare your home for Christmas, prepare your heart as well. Through historical revelations and inspirational insights into the person and work of Christ, Hank Hanegraaff leads you on a truth-filled journey to the very heart of Christmas. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is a collection of 25 devotionals that are certain to inspire an annual Christmas tradition. Get this personal or family devotional by December 1st and prepare your heart daily until December 25th with renewed appreciation for Emmanuel, God with us. Order The Heart of Christmas with the accompanying Christmas music on CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't touch that dial. The Bible Answer Man will continue right after this.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Our cover story examines the teachings of self-help superstar Anthony Robbins. Does he promote personal power or harmful hedonism? Lee Strobel equips you to share your faith in natural settings in our effective evangelism column. And don't miss our feature article on the moral views of scientist and ardent atheist Richard Dawkins as the journal examines the question, can morality be based in our selfish evolutionary past? Also, don't miss a review of the influential internet movie Zeitgeist, our practical hermeneutics department, viewpoint articles, or our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yeah.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
Thank you.
equipping you and your family to defend your faith and grow in your knowledge of who God is. That's our mission at the Christian Research Institute, and we do it through listeners like you.
My name is Rob. I'm calling from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Greatly appreciate the Bible Answer Man. You guys have been a wonderful help in helping me be able to minister to the Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons. You've really changed my life in major ways. Couldn't even begin to put into words.
If you believe in what we're doing here at CRI, we're asking you to partner with us through regular prayer and a special gift. Your support is foundational to keeping us on the air and ministering in your area. To help in CRI's Because Truth Matters mission, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. You can also join online at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Once again, right back to your questions. Next up, Dwayne, listening on XM Radio. He's in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Dwayne.
Hey, how are you, Hank? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just had a question about John Nelson Darby. I know he gives a translation of the Bible with his name on it, and also obviously a gathering of believers that I guess come out of his like teachings and stuff. So I was wondering if you could let me know if it cultic in a way. Any of the gatherings that will come out of that teaching, is the Bible that has his name on it, is that a Bible that's okay to read, or is it something that's akin to like the Jehovah's Witnesses?
Well, no, I wouldn't associate this with the Jehovah's Witnesses, but I have written about this in a book called The Apocalypse Code. And in that book, I point out that Darby starts with a contention that God has two distinct people with two distinct plans and two distinct destinies. And only one of those peoples, the Jews, would suffer tribulation. The other, the church, would be removed from the world in a secret coming, 7 years prior to the second coming of Christ. And his distinctive twist on Scripture would come to be known as dispensational eschatology. And beginning with Darby, the dispensationalists held that due to the murder of their Messiah, Jews were in for a time of unprecedented suffering, vicariously referred to as a time of Jacob's trouble or the Great Tribulation. So you had the early dispensationalists like Arthur Pink and Arno Gebelein, who underscored the contention that Jews were under a national blood guiltiness for the murder of Christ. Further, I think that the dispensationalists, starting with John Nelson Darby, read the Bible with the notion that the Bible is addressed to two different peoples. Therefore, rightly dividing the word of truth in their minds means that you have to understand which passages are appropriate for the Jews and which passages are appropriate for the church. Which passages are appropriate for the Old Covenant, which for the New Covenant. And I think this is a presupposition which is foisted on the Scriptures rather than drawn from the Scriptures. I think biblically we have to say that God has always had one people, not two peoples. There's only one true Israel. And that is true on both sides of the cross. If you go to the Old Testament, we would say that Ruth is true Israel, even though she was a Moabite, and the Moabites were the arch enemy of Israel. But she was true Israel because she believed in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and she was brought, therefore, into the community of types and shadows pointing forward to Jesus Christ. The same thing is true with Rahab. There is the same truth which applies to all the people who became Jews in Esther. Although they were from other nations, they watched as God, the sovereign God of the universe, raised up Esther to save the Jews from certain destruction under Haman. And as a result, the text tells us, not obliquely but directly, that they were Jews. And yet we also know they were from other nations. How did they become Jews? Well, obviously they changed their birth mother or their DNA, but they became Jews because they worshipped the God of Israel, and therefore they were true Israel. And that then is true in the New Testament in that Peter uses the very language applied to Israel, and he applies that language, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, he applies that to people who follow God from every tongue and tribe and language and people. They are true Israel. So God has only biblically had one covenant community. And Paul beautifully illustrates that with a cultivated olive tree. And within that olive tree, you find people from all the nations. Because remember, Abraham, biblically in the Old Testament, had his name changed. It was Abram. It became Abraham, which meant the father of many nations. And so the notion that God has two people, I think, is not substantiated through the Bible. In fact, we would say that Abram only had one seed, one royal seed, and that royal seed is Jesus Christ. And Paul, the apostle in Galatians 3, goes to great pains to underscore that truth. He says, not seeds plural, but the apostle Paul writes seed singular. So he makes this an emphasis. So there's only one royal seed of Abraham, and that is Jesus Christ. And if you are in Jesus Christ, you're the seed of Abraham. And Paul says, whether you're Greek or whether you're a Jew, whether you're a male or whether you're a female, whether you're a slave in that culture or free in that culture, it doesn't matter. You are the seed of Abraham. You are the royal seed because you are in the royal seed, who is Jesus Christ. So the reason that I underscore this is because the fountainhead of Darby's dispensationalism is that God has two distinct people, and therefore he has two distinct plans for those two distinct people, two distinct destinations for those two distinct people, and that necessitates two distinct phases of the second coming, a secret coming and a second coming, after which, by the way, people are saved. Again, though I wouldn't classify this in any sense with the witnesses of the Watchtower, I would say that the very basic presupposition of the system is on a very shaky, tenuous foundation.
Okay, so then, it's not quite heretical, but it is questionable.
Yes, I would say that because some of my best friends and most committed fellow Christians are dispensational believers who are completely committed to the integrity of the Word of God, the nature of God, the person and work of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and we share the common belief that Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead. We share the common belief that he will put all things to right. Now, the disagreements are on the meaning of the millennium or the timing of the tribulation, on the idea that God has two distinct people, and we debate those vigorously, and it's a worthwhile debate. But do I count on my brothers and sisters in the Lord? Yes. Not so with a Jehovah's Witness who denies the deity of Jesus Christ. So this is a very important distinction to make.
Well, you've been very helpful, Hank. I appreciate your clarity, and I just appreciate that you do what you do. I hope to be able to help people in the same fashion as you help people on daily, just do the work for the kingdom, and ultimately fulfill the Great Commission. So thank you very much for your help and your ministry, and I hope to even one day be able to support you financially, because I know it takes money to do what you do as well.
Thank you so much, Dwayne. I appreciate your kind words. And again, the book that I referred to, The Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Here's a book that underscores in red that ideas have consequences. And today we see those consequences being played out in the geopolitical scene. So again, The Apocalypse Code, I consider it a very significant book from the perspective of my own writings and would highly recommend it to you. Want to go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to John listening on XM Radio in Canada, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Hi, John.
Hello. My question has to do with Hebrews 1, verse 5, the first half, where it says, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I have become your father'?" My question is, I was just wondering what the context is, and specifically what the meanings of the word today and become.
Yeah. Well, the whole point of Hebrews 1, of course, is to argue for the absolute godhood or deity of Jesus Christ. That's the context.
Mm-hmm.
In terms, then, of the words themselves, we have to see those words within that very clear, concise, and cogent context. So when Hebrews says, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I have become your father,' or again, 'I will be his father, he will be my son,'" we see that the word "became" or "begotten" is underscored by a meaning. And that meaning is begotten, not made. So that the point here is that the angels are made, but Jesus Christ is begotten as the unique Son of God in that he shares the very essence or nature of God. And again, that is the point of the passage in total. Verse 10 through 12, as you read through the context, are addressed to the Son. And those verses are a direct quotation of Psalm 102.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so the writer of... Go ahead.
I was just saying, I noticed that verse was taken from Psalm 2, verse 7, and then it's also written again in Acts 13, verse 33.
Yeah, I'm actually talking about the passage that follows, verses 10 through 12, which comes from Psalm 102.
Yeah.
Verses 25 and 27, where the writer of Hebrews takes a passage which, this is really cool, it specifically refers to Yahweh. Remember the tetragrammaton, the four unspeakable letters, you add some vowels and you get Yahweh. And this applies to Jesus. So the writer of Hebrews is saying Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is equal to Yahweh, the God of Israel. They are equal in nature, and thus Jesus Christ is God. That's the point of the passage. And again, I've said this often, but I hope this gets into your memory, Trace. Words or phrases are not univocal. They're equivocal, and therefore they take on the meaning that the context gives them. And if you don't understand that, then you're going to get into all kinds of difficulties, like what Islam does. They look at begotten, and they say, "Begotten, oh my goodness." That is the unforgivable sin of shirk, because they think of begetting in a human sense, not in a biblical sense. Much more could be said. I've written about that in various places. You can check it out at equip.org. We'll be right back with more.
As we come to the close of 2009, we're grateful of your partnership and ministry. During 2009, the Christian Research Institute has experienced the proverbial best of times and worst of times. The best of times in that in over two decades of serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the ministry of CRI, we have seldom seen more abundant, abiding fruit. But this is also why we need your help as never before. Despite all that God has done through the Christian Research Institute this year, we're still facing a crucial year-end financial need. We're still $935,000 from meeting our year-end budget. So we're asking you for your financial help. We usually receive about 20% of our income during December, so every day is absolutely critical. We'd rather face this December 31st deadline with calm rather than with concern. So why don't you get in touch with the Christian Research Institute today to put your donation to work right away? You can call toll-free 888-7000-274 or donate through our secure website, www.equip.org. Don't touch that dial. Hank will be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options. Set sail for a week at sea with Hank Hanegraaff and The Word, May 9th through May 16th, 2010. Departing Mother's Day weekend, the 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from the riches of God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship.
Considering it's Mother's Day, a great time to honor your mom and husbands, to honor your wives. Bring them on a great vacation. Let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine. Make it a Christmas gift this year.
Early bird pricing begins at only $449 plus taxes and fees per person. This incredibly low price includes accommodations and meals. To participate, go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime.
Early bird pricing ends December 30th. Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines, charts, and extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more, the Legacy Bible is available only through CRI. Order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Chris. Chris is listening in Edmond, Oklahoma on KQCV. Hi, Chris.
Hey, thanks for taking my question, Hank.
My pleasure.
I actually was just wondering if there's a right or a wrong way to take communion. I know you're someone who believes in taking communion and being involved in a church, but if you are a part of communion, does it have to be with everyone else that's in a church? And I'll give you an example of what I mean. I go to a mega church where they kind of set the communion juice and wafer aside for people who want to take it on their own time, either before or after the service, and they don't pass it around, and it's just kind of on your own. And then I've also been to a Catholic church with a friend, and I grew up in a Presbyterian church. And there's people in different churches that just do it completely, you know, they have their own way of doing it. And I was wondering if there was a right or wrong, and if it's something you need to be involved with everyone else.
Yeah, well, great question, very relevant question. And think about the word communion. The very notion of communion is that communion is taken in community.
Right.
And it is symbolic not only, although primarily, symbolic of the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ for the complete remission of sins, but it is also emblematic of the fact that we are part of the body of Christ as we partake of communion.
Right, right. Well, that's my thoughts. I just wanted your opinion on that. I appreciate it.
You got it.
Bye.
Bless you. I want to spend just a couple of minutes now talking to Steve Camp. He's a Grammy Award-winning Christian musician who has led worship on our cruises in the past and is going to do so again this year on a cruise that we call The Word. And I know, Steve, the moment that I say The Word, your ears perk up, because that's not only the cause concept of the Christian Research Institute, but it's our combined passion. It is getting people into the Word and getting the Word of God into people.
Oh, absolutely. That's one reason I love to work with you and partner with you, is your emphasis on the Scriptures. You know, people have been celebrating, you know, around this time of the year, just a few weeks ago, the Great Reformation. And one of the calls of the Reformation was sola scriptura, as John Wycliffe would have said, to prove all things by the Word of God. I know the heart of your ministry is to contend for the once for all delivered to the saints' faith. And in music and in local church work and service, it's something I've tried to also maintain by God's grace, to say that if the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, if it's the precious and magnificent promise that we have, and if all things are provided for us according to life and godliness, according to the knowledge of His Son, through His Word, then we better proclaim that, sing that, talk about that, preach that. And again, great hymnology coupled with great theology can lead us in great doxology before the Lord. So it's an honor to be partnering together with you, brother, on this cruise, and to see the work the Lord has called you to. Thank you for allowing me that privilege.
Well, it's a privilege for us. And Steve, we so often say at the Christian Research Institute that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. In other words, God has spoken, but the attendant question is this: if God has spoken, what has God said? And during this Word cruise, what we're going to do is help people understand what the Scriptures actually say, how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And part of that is what we do when you and I engage participants, our extended family, in theology talks on the cruise.
Oh, yeah. It's really a highlight every year when late at night we can get together either outside on the deck and see the beautiful night sky, or whether we're inside, if for some reason there's inclement weather that's there, it's a wonderful opportunity for the iron to strike the iron. And in a Q&A kind of format, where we're able to pick a theme and unfold it biblically, wrestle through some of the more complicated things scripturally, every year it seems like it's something that people come away from thinking, boy, I've always wanted to have the chance to discuss that. But maybe in their own fellowship or church setting, they haven't had the time to unpack those things the way they would want to. And so this is always a highlight of the cruise. And you know what? I come away benefiting and learning as well. When someone says something from a different angle, considers a different viewpoint, I think, boy, this is causing me to study further in my own walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's an exciting time where people can come, share what's on their hearts. Maybe they've been wrestling with a certain aspect of their own personal life, or they have an issue of truth, or they're seeing something in the common media events of the day that have religious implications to them, and they're thinking, okay, is Scripture really clear on this? Does it really speak to these issues? And surprisingly enough for many, they can see that it is absolutely sufficient for all matters of life and godliness. It's an exciting time.
Over 30 hours of teaching, training, and equipping, and all of this takes place in the Western Caribbean. You are an expert at cruises, Steve. Talk to people about the Western Caribbean.
Well, it's a beautiful part of the world, Belize and Cozumel and different islands that we'll be going to. Beautiful time of the year in the spring and May. A great time of the year considering it's Mother's Day. A great time to honor your mom and husbands, to honor your wives. Bring them on a great vacation. Let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine. You know, the beaches are beautiful. The water is absolutely clear. And you get to come for 7 days and seven nights to these great ports. And I think that's the thing that's so exciting, Hank, about cruising. The people in the Western Caribbean are so warm and friendly, and they really make the trip extra special by their hospitality as well. So a great vacation, all encompassed in a Bible-intensive cruise where you get fed spiritually, you get to relax, enjoy the fellowship of friends and family, and then see these tremendous ports in this part of the world and enjoy some of the most beautiful weather you're going to experience in any springtime season, along with some snorkeling and fishing and skiing or just laying on the beach enjoying each other's company with the great outdoor barbecues and things that happen. It's really quite a time, and for such a low price, I know during economic times like we're in, people are trying to make those dollars stretch. Well, here's an opportunity to maximize those dollars. It's sensitive to anyone's budget and something that people can really take home and enjoy spiritually as well.
I don't want that to pass over too quickly, but in the words of Mark Twain, this is the best of times and the worst of times. The worst of times, and that many people are struggling economically, it is the best of times because there are some extraordinary bargains. A couple of years ago, we could not have been talking about pricing like this to go, as you mentioned, on a seven-day Western Caribbean cruise.
Yeah, it would have been unfathomable to think that you could go for this kind of price. So here to have 7 nights, 7 days out at sea, visiting several ports in the Western Caribbean. And if people can think about this as a floating Bible conference that also enjoys seeing these great destinations. You know, today, the average price I read the other day for just a Bible conference is $200 to $300 per person to come. And here, on top of that, you get five-star meal service, beautiful accommodations. You get to see the open seas. If you've never been on a cruise before, it is spectacular. And then again, visiting these different ports, plus you get the Bible conference as well. So it really is a wonderful stewardship issue of dollar for dollar. This is something that people can really enjoy, and you'll take home memories that'll last a lifetime, plus the work spiritually that's done. I think, Hank, every year we've had people from the crew come out for a special devotions, as you know, on one of those nights, and we've had the chance to share the gospel in a musical and in a teaching format, because several of the crew come and hear you speak and explain of the faith, and we've even had some, by God's grace, respond in confessing Christ as Lord. And so, you know, it's ministry, it's being fed spiritually, it's great fun and fellowship. And if you're looking for a vacation time where all of these elements come together in the beautiful part of the Western Caribbean, boy, what a great gift to give family and loved ones this year. It's just a tremendous package.
Our family with your family, an extraordinary time. Let me just mention one other thing, Steve. Mother's Day is Monday, May 9th. The cruise is May 9th through the 16th. And this year, my mom's going to be on the cruise as well. Not only my entire family, but my mom is going to come as well. And maybe a reminder that this is a great Mother's Day gift.
Oh, tremendous. Yeah, I wish my mom could come. She's 91, and so she'd have trouble traveling. But in the past, she has always enjoyed the warmer climates, especially during the springtime, where she can just get away and enjoy this kind of relaxing time. A tremendous Mother's Day gift. And so this is something you'll want to take advantage of. Now, you can give it as a Mother's Day gift, but make it a Christmas gift this year for your mom. And again, a wonderful opportunity for the whole family to come and pay homage to the moms, but also husbands, a great chance to celebrate your wife here. If you have a faithful wife that's watching the kids, that's the heart of the home, man, give her just a wonderful gift. Consider it a second honeymoon as you come aboard this cruise, and it will be just a delight.
We're talking to Steve Camp. He's the Grammy Award-winning Christian musician that one of the few people that actually participates with me in Bible Answer Man sessions. We call them theology talks, but we have a blast together. All of this happening May 9th through the 16th. It's called The Word. It's a Western Caribbean cruise. It won't be complete without you. Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime. Steve, thank you.
Hank, thank you, brother. Looking forward to being with you.
God bless you, my friends. And again, you can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Out of time, out of here. See you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and The Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010, the 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be The Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. Early bird pricing begins at only $449 per person plus port taxes and government fees and ends December 30th, 2009. This incredibly low price includes accommodations, meals, and all of our sessions during the week. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101. That's 877-768-2784, extension 101. Or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.